Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, you got a heart of louder light.
yes. Well, well, well. Well, my brothers and sisters. Yes, indeed. We are back. We're back again, my brothers and sisters. Yes, for another episode. Yes, another episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host. Yes, I'm your host, the Enemy of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So very thankful. Thankful to the Most High for the opportunity. Yes, indeed, for the opportunity to be back with you here again. Yes, indeed, to speak these very precious words, which the Most High has granted me. Yes, which the Most High has granted me for the blessing of His people, the reconciliation. Yes, indeed, of His people. The Most High has told me that I have for Him some very important things for Him to do. And He told me because of what I must do, He said that indeed I would accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But He told me that in doing for Him that which He asked of me, I would have His. Yes, His protection and His guidance. For that, indeed, my brothers and sisters, I can only be utmost thankful. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, He has told me, that I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, He has told me that I must tell you things. That men have done everything they could, even from the dawn of human fall, to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and yes, my brothers and sisters, if they could, to utterly destroy. But we who are wise know that the Most High has a plan. Yes, indeed, He has a plan by which He said that He would surely restore His people unto Himself. For He said by His Spirit, indeed, He shall teach all things, even bringing all things to remembrance. Oh, yes, everything that He has spoken by the mouth of His holy prophets since world began. In fact, the scripture says point blank in Acts 3:18 through 23, Messiah comes for the time of refreshing. Yes, indeed, that time of remembrance, whereby He shall restore the mind. All things that the Most High has spoken by His holy prophets since world began. What does this mean? What does it mean, my brothers and sisters, but that what the Most High declared from the very beginning, what He declared from the very beginning declares the eventuality for all mankind. What He declared from the beginning is an unchangeable covenant. What He declared from the beginning, my brothers and sisters, is a promise that by no means, I said, is a promise which by no means has ever any man had any right to change anything in it. What it means, my brothers and sisters, is that the Most High declared at the end from the very beginning. He created, He created this earth that it might give forth glory unto Him after His pure and perfect will. And though men may have divided this world after all manner of different territories, nations, denominations, different so-called social orders, culture, diverse religiosity. Most of my brothers and sisters, has always from the beginning said that humanity only brings forth its purpose when all my brothers and sisters who call upon His name are one. One morning, I remember waking up directly to hear the words the Most High spoken upon my soul. And he said, till we are one, I would even go as far as to say, until all that the Most High has declared according to his purpose functions together as one, our brothers and sisters, we have not been delivered from whatever it is, whatever sin, whatever contentiousness, whatever adversarial tendencies, thoughts, doctrines, allegiances that divide us. But the truth of the matter is, if man was true to the Most High in all things he declared from the beginning, true to his spirit, spirit of Yah alone, the multitude of divisions that we see in the world would not have even come to exist, my brothers and sisters. This idea that man, in the multitude of his differences, walking according to what seems wise, after his presumptuous ideals, flesh, selfish ambitions, this idea that man, according to his own conscience, declares whether or not he enters the kingdom of Yah. But brothers and sisters, that's a lie. The gospel, the pure, perfect word of the Most High, went forth to the nations because of deep spiritual depravity. I pray you will hear me, my brothers and sisters. Because of deep spiritual depravity among the nations. The gospel went forth to the nations because the world had no concept, no ultimate concept of a law by which all might love, cooperate, and trust. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Even to this very day, we see thousands, 45,000, someone said, and counting, denominations, 280 nations. Many reading the scriptures of what we call the Bible, but interpreting things differently. That, my brothers and sisters, is not the result of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit teaches all things, no lie in it. How about, my brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit teaches the word of Yah, line upon line, precept upon precept? For if we look at the words, read the words, and do not capture together the same vision, the same expectation. If we do not discern these words after the initial mind and desire of the Creator, what have we said but that man has a right to dictate what is worthy unto the kingdom of Yah? Dare men really believe that? Even to usurp the authority of Yah? The authority of even the righteous one that he sends? Is that what men have been compelled to believe? Is that what the rulers would compel you to believe? How many even understand, my brothers and sisters, that the prophecies speak of Messiah himself? I said Messiah himself coming to reprove his church, that he comes himself to reprove all Israel, that the contentions and warfare and the differences that we see among us should come to an end. I've spoken oftentimes in this show about such prophecies as those in Isaiah 40th chapter. Comfort ye, O my people. The time of your warfare has been accomplished. It must come to an end. And how much warfare, my brothers and sisters, how much competition exists among a people that should be in all things cooperative? How much competition exists among us that should not be? I remember, I'll say this again, I've said it before, some of you heard it. I remember years ago, walking upon four churches, a neighborhood here, and it was around maybe about 12:30, and lo and behold, all churches got out around about 1 o'clock. Four churches on one corner, every single one of them tall buildings. Stairs, at least, had to walk up about a good 10 stairs just to get to what was considered the foundation of the floor upon which the services were held. Each one of them. Amazingly enough, my brothers and sisters, they always got out. I wanted to see what would happen when they got up out at 1 o'clock. Four churches, four corners, cars parked all around. I wanted to see what would happen when the churches let out. And I was amazed to see what happened. The members of the churches came out, and each one of them of their various different church, the people amazed me because they all came out and we all behaved the same way. I think two of them were Baptists, one may have been Methodist, and someone might have been, I guess you call, some people might call it non-denominational. Well, you know, all I can say is that if any of them were true to all the word, it was quite apparent that was not the case. Remember, this was a Sunday evening church, Sunday morning church that out that evening. At any rate, I wanted to see what happened. And everybody came out of the church, and as they came out, I noticed it was amazing how everyone either looked down at the stairs, back toward their respective church, at maybe another member who was coming out of the church with them. But no one sat there and watched it until, you know, hey, half the, all the parishioners in the churches, if you will, till they all, pretty much half, more than half of them at least, came out. And most of the cars were gone. And I was amazed to watch how even when they got in their cars, you know how usually when somebody across the street and you're pulling out into a lane, you know, you kind of acknowledge one another? I didn't even see that happening. It was amazing. People right across the street from each other coming out of churches, catty-corner one another coming out of churches. And none of them would acknowledge one another. And the Most High, I asked him a question, God, what I saw. What he told me, he said, okay, in this little small community, these churches are in fact competitive one against another for the resources of this community. But he said, though they compete with one another, they have one thing in common. He said, and that is that none of them will stand up for the whole word that I am. It became apparent to me that it is the pure and perfect word of the Most High that lends a healing to his people. Do I need to repeat that? It is the pure and perfect word of the Most High that lends a healing to his people. Because if all considered everything the Most High said, being led by his spirit as a teacher, willing to be purged of all misconceits. And I'm not talking about people who are, you know, come to church to pay a pastor to tell them that everything is okay, seeking to be comforted in their vanities. But if all were willing to seek all the Most High declared after a pure and perfect word, There wouldn't even be those four churches on the corner. But somehow they had to maintain a brand, a style that was particularly their own. That though they were four huge churches on one corner, I guess you could sit back and say that they maintained their constituency, maintained their congregation. Each one said he belonged to whatever particular respective church. Because as I said, something was going on in that building, in those buildings, that compelled each one of them to respect their own so-called church and not the others. It was amazing to watch. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, the Savior and what is the salvation of our people is not a divisive ideal. The Messiah, my brothers and sisters, will not be pleased, if not pleased, at seeing his people divided along allegiances, designs, desires, doctrine. It will not or refuse to accept the fullness of what is necessary as people be healed. The gospel, my brothers and sisters, think about it. Nations were already proud of their own ideals. Many people proud of their own religious ideals, social and cultural ideals. The Messiah said, go forth and teach all the nations. All power, the authority from on high have been given unto him as king. Even he who decides and declares, my brothers and sisters, what is acceptable under the kingdom that is to come on this earth. All power from on high has been given unto me. Go forth and teach all nations. Baptizing. Wow. Baptism. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to do everything that he commands. There's that purity and completion again. And how many understand that baptism was an open acknowledgement of a need to be washed? An open acknowledgement that there was something about the doctrines that men had upheld before that was insufficient, impure, in some way not true to the will of one. The Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters, is called the Comforter for a great reason. Because the Holy Spirit seeks to teach all things, no lie in it, reproving all sin. How about reproving whatever it is that man has trusted in doctrines that divide the people against the perfect will of Yah rather than open their hearts to receive it? Heaven help us. I see a tremendous problem in this, my brothers and sisters. And quite frankly, those who say they are believers upon perusing these differences should not only realize that something is wrong, but there should be a vexation in our spirit. A vexation in our spirit enough to compel us to seek whatever truth is missing. That we all, in receiving it, might be edified, enhanced, and healed, even granted the capacity to grow in it. I'm not talking about vainglory. I'm not talking about looking for truth, looking for doctrines so you can just simply say, okay, I know something you don't know. That's pitiful. A brother says, I'm talking about seeking the truth that others might understand it and understanding it after the gift of the Spirit be granted an opportunity to see what it is to walk the path of the Most High with the obstacles of illusion removed. I spoke about this on last evening. What the scripture is really talking about, when it talks about growing in grace. Messiah said, if you love me, surely if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. He says, if you love me, surely you will keep, preserve, maintain, defend. Hey, this greater wisdom that he revealed. And he said, if you do this, he would reveal himself to you. My brothers and sisters, I cannot tell you how much I know it to be true, that the Holy Spirit brings to mind so much that those in places of power so often will not. That's the reason why the scripture said in Revelation 2 and 3, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Meaning, my brothers and sisters, that if the rulers are not declaring certain truths, then you pray, you should be praying the Most High to show you whatever is missing for the good of us all. That might not be what your pastors tell you, because oftentimes they don't want you to ask questions beyond the parameters of what they call common. I can't tell you about how many times I've been in situations with the Bible study in a church. They called it a church. Somebody asked a question. The pastor seems to want to somehow ignore, somehow want to avoid answering. And I just say something simple like, hey, look up such scriptures like Jeremiah 30:10 through 11. Look up scriptures like Isaiah 60 and 12. For the answer to the question. And the pastor really doesn't want to go there. Amazingly enough. Right there in the book. Next thing you know, somebody's on the side of you saying, hey, we need to talk to you. Pastors telling me things like they don't want to discuss that scripture in their church. I find that so amazing, my brothers and sisters. Yes, I do. That they can openly, outright, sometimes say that sort of thing. When scripture says, a faithful minister of Yah will seek to teach you all things. It is amazing to me, my brothers and sisters. Yes, it is. But nevertheless, we see that it happens. I tell you, my brothers and sisters, all the time. It's as if those in places of power don't want the people to know the greater truths. They have their own parameters after which they teach. And if this happens, my brothers and sisters, if this happens continually, think about it. Remember what I told you? He told me I should tell you things. The men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, deny, pervert, silence, and destroy. Then think about it. If age after age, allegiance after allegiance, nation after nation, men continually do this, seeking to deny certain truth as if it never existed. Are there certain truth that to defend their so-called authority, certain truths that pastors don't want to discuss in their churches, leaders don't want to touch, even discussed amongst their nations. What is the end result of this, my brothers and sisters? The men dare say that if the ruler over a nation has despised, denied, outlawed, if you will, the preaching of certain truth that's contained in the scriptures, that men are somehow excused if they never know. My brothers and sisters, what about if I told you that all prophecy points directly to the fact that the Holy Spirit that teaches all things, no lie in it, is ultimately to prepare men for the coming of the Son of Man? What I mean by that is this, is that if your rulers don't tell you, if you'd read through the scripture sufficiently enough, you know you should have asked the Most High for His Spirit to tell you those things that the rulers would not, so that when Messiah comes to declare reproof upon all nations and rulers concerning those things that have been neglected, you might be prepared to stand before Him. Need I repeat that again? So much scripture relates what it means when the scripture says, he who has ears doesn't hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And it talks about scriptures like in the third chapter of Revelation, about how the church rulership had not sought the perfect will of Yah. He said, he who has ears, and hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Hey, seek his perfect work, lest he come against you with the sword of his mouth. Wow. If the leaders won't tell you, who's supposed to tell you? Have you asked the Most High? Have you asked him for that exceeding truth? Have you asked him that you might, wherever doctrines have been twisted out of context, outside of right definition, hey, set back on track? Have you asked him for that? Scripture didn't say that the rulers, by any sense, my brothers and sisters, were going to come together to finally declare an absolute. The scripture says in Isaiah 56, for instance, that they're too greedy to understand what is a covenant. So where so many times the doctrines leave the people wide open to be devoured, every manner of beastly wolf would lead astray the flock. Well, my brothers and sisters, they offer no warning. And the scripture says, this is true to the very last one of them in Isaiah 56. Because none discerns that it is the righteous man that escapes the wrath that is to come. Meaning the wrath that befalls mankind and those who follow, those who never compelled you to look beyond the rulers. The wrath that befalls mankind because men didn't know by faith to respect Yah as wiser than men. One scripture says, if any man considers himself wise in this world, or after the rulership of this world, after what seems wise unto men, so the strife of carnal men, it says in 1 Corinthians 3, that a man consider himself a fool that he may become wise. His carnal eye and ear does not discern the glory of that which Yah has planned for those who love him. And those who seek to so-called preach this word, but their first design and desire is after personal ambition, they automatically, my brothers and sisters, for lack of reverence and humility before Yah, begin to cut themselves off and you from the greater revelation the Most High himself would give. You know, I find it amazing that there are so many that say that Messiah, when he comes, will come for a church. And the scripture does say that. But what does it really mean? It says Messiah comes for a church. Without spot or wrinkle. Did you hear me? He comes for a church without spot or wrinkle. It says Messiah loved the church and gave himself for it. That he sanctify and cleanse it. Talking about 5:26 Ephesians. That he sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by, how about his word? That he presented unto himself. Need to refresh the page a little bit. That he presented unto himself. How about even unto Yah, for those who know the prophecy at Isaiah 45. A glorious church. How about invariant in his doctrine. No variableness, nor shadow of changing. All doctrine, my brothers and sisters, the same. Do you really believe that this thing with 45,000 denominations teaching all things different is his church? Is a people brought off from the world, or has it tainted greatly by it? A glorious church having neither spot nor wrinkle, or any such thing that it should be holy. How about true unto Yah himself without blemish? None of the stain or pollutions or misconceits or short-sightedness after what seems wise in this world. Yes, Messiah does come for a true church made perfect A righteous bride is an acceptable offering unto Yah. The great question then, amidst so much self-righteousness among us, and it should be important to us if we say we love Him. The scripture says we love Him, keep, we will keep, preserve, maintain, defend His command. How about the exceeding righteousness that He reveals? Maintain it in its integrity. Well, if we're not concerned that the doctrines we believe, whether or not the doctrine we believe on all things true, yeah, and we are not concerned about that even where ourselves are concerned, how can we say that we have that great love and concern where it concerns the body of us all? Do we really think, my brothers and sisters, that lack of love for the truth is acceptable? Most I said we must love Him, even His name, with all our minds, hearts, souls, and might. Nothing in us seeking to exalt ourselves or any allegiance of this world beyond His plan, declaration, and peace. If we do any other, my brothers and sisters, we have sworn by His name after our own vanities. And with this, my brothers and sisters, men have sworn an oath deceitfully, and the Most High cannot accept it. Do you realize what I'm telling you? If men swear allegiance to a multitude of diverse ideals and doctrines that don't or won't accept or seek the fullness of a word, dare men say that they walk into the Holy Kingdom with all these contentions? I spoke on last evening about Malachi 2:17, and speaking to the priests, you look at Malachi 2:1. It says, you're wearied. How about dishonor the name of the Most High with your words? With your doctrines. Yet the people ask, wherein have we wearied or dishonored Him? How about dishonored His name? His holy name declares He is as He is and not as He is not. When you say that everyone who does evil, all these contentions and differences, you say that's good in the sight of the Most High, all these different doctrines, and that He likes and such, as if that form of differences and contentions and illusions and diversitudes are the manifestation of His Spirit. Brothers and sisters, man should seek to be purged of all faulty foundations that dissuade his thinking. He must, my brothers and sisters, seek the Most High to be assured that what He does and what He teaches is true to Yah. And believe me, my brothers and sisters, not to have that utmost zeal for the Most High and for the truth is to be counted unworthy to receive such guidance. I cannot tell you, there's no way I could count how many times it's been the Most High pulled my coattail, if you will, to something that if it hadn't been for Him, I never would have known, never would have sought. Times of looking in the scriptures, and I mean, hey, if I read right past something because I didn't quite catch on to it or didn't realize the importance of it, like the verses light up, words jump off the page, say, hey, hey, don't miss this. You need it. Compelling you to go and examine a little bit deeper. And Lord have mercy, how much deeper the concept was than I first might have considered. Simple words. But just to miss them leads to miss so much. Oh, heaven, help us, my brothers and sisters. You said, dare we think that all these contentious doctrines resultant of man's hasty conclusions, wanting to believe that what he has is enough but insufficient, is good in the sight of the Most High, whole, reverent of Him in His sight, that He would delight in such? Well, it simply says, men have asked even, who or where is the judge? Same word in Hebrew. Who, where, when? Well, I mean, you know, what kind of judge is this going to judge according to righteous judgment? Wow. What do men think? That the Most High will not judge every foolish word that men speak? Look at Matthew 12:36. It says, every foolish, idle, stagnating word that a man speaks, every presumptuous, idolatrous then word that a man speaks, he will give account for it in the judgment. He said, behold, I will send my messenger. How about I send his perfect message, the knowledge of what is indeed his covenant? Some scripture calls him the messianic interpreter of the law. He prepared the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek, the one for whom you should be waiting. Remember that scripture say, this is our holy one for whom we were waiting, that we might rejoice. How about be made one? Rejoice, rejoined. We have to rejoice and be glad. How about made whole, blessed in his salvation? Wow. How about in the fullness of a word that he brings? And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. How about the place where he is worshipped? He is expected. Even the messenger of, how about the Holy Covenant? In whom ye should delight. Behold, he says. Behold, ye should delight. Behold, in whom he delights. What about looking at Isaiah 41, where it says, behold, my servant, my elect, my soul delights. I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth justice to the nations. The isle shall wait for the law, for his law. Meaning, the Most High delights in him because he seeks to appease the Most High in all his will. But the scriptures go on to say, behold, he shall come, said the Most High. The Lord of hosts they have here. For whom men should tremble at his word. But who can abide the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like refiner's fire, meaning that whatever is impure in the thinking and in the hearts of men must be removed, that only that which is pure remains. He should sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, like silver, that he shall purify the sons of Levi. Well, I tell you, my brothers and sisters, wherever the priests have not been true to what a priest is called for, scripture says he will humiliate the priest who are partial in his law. He said, wherever they have dealt treacherously against a covenant to cause there to be contentions between brother and brother. He said, wherever the people have been taught after the way of foreign standards, foreign gods, foreign doctrines, not true to what Yah gave himself, he said he would destroy out of the temple of the Most High the man who does this. Man, heaven help us. Consider what this means. Do you mean to tell me that for salvation's sake, the men have not concerned themselves to be sure that what they teach is from Yah and Yah alone? Or dare so many do, as a lot of pastors have told me, hey, it's not big. When one pastor said to me directly, he said these words, and I'm quoting, he said, it's not a, don't you know, for us it's not about what Jesus said. He said, word Jesus. He said, don't you know, for us it's not about what Jesus said. He said, we are learning a profession. In other words, he was just simply learning to establish himself to preside over a congregation according to what the people wanted to hear. And another pastor said to me that if this is what the people want to hear, if they're willing to buy it, they'll sell it. Heaven help us. Our brothers and sisters, can people such as this bring forth an offering to the Most High in righteousness. Pastors, my brothers and sisters, oftentimes I regret to tell you, look for dimensions of doctrine that they can sell to, as to say, distinguish themselves. But are they in all things true to everything written? That's what you need to really ask. You need to examine the scriptures very closely to look and see if for certain all that you are hearing is true to all the Most High said, giving consideration to all that the Most High has declared, so that all things you hear are placed in proper perspective. One scripture says, all things written of old for our learning, that we through patience and faith in the scriptures might have hope. You ever stop to consider that so often men without the foundation of what is called the Old Testament, and the scripture never said at any time that that ceased to be a testimony of the Most High. Nowhere in the scripture ever said that ceased to be a record of what is to be expected as a common faith of those who believe. And if they ever tell you anything else are different, what they do, if they can turn you back from what the knowledge of what is to be expected, they have cut you short of the faith and caused you to trust in the diversities that come as a result of the hasty conclusion, the partialities of men. And with this, my brothers and sisters, it is certain the Messiah will not be pleased. I pray you will consider this and understand. I pray you will consider this and realize what is the obligation of every single one of us who will call upon the Holy Name, to realize that if we are going to be perfected after His will, we have to seek all His will. What is said, my brothers and sisters, all prophecy relates that it will be found in the latter days that men have become so spiritually depraved, wearied in their discretion, the scriptures say, that many will find out they didn't even have a foundation. Not only had they not matured, but didn't even have the foundation upon which to grow. All prophecy, my brothers and sisters, relates Messiah coming to bring again that foundation. That men might not stumble and fall in their seeking to progress. That Messiah himself, my brothers and sisters, comes to purge out all the corrupt doctrine among the churches. Because the rulers, when Scripture says salvation not of works as any man should boast, it means men, in their own, after their own discretion, have not the power to see beyond all their errancy. That's the reason why the Scripture says that 1 Corinthians 4:5, even the Apostle Shaul said, I know nothing of which I'm guilty. Call him Paul. See, I know nothing of which I'm guilty. Fall short. Maybe have some pollution in my mind. He said, I know nothing which I'm guilty, but I might not be right in this. He said, for my judge is, and he was ultimately speaking, saying Messiah will come as his judge. And he says, therefore let no man consider himself so wise before the time, sufficiently wise before the time, until Messiah himself comes to reveal the hidden things that men had not considered. And then to live a man know how to praise Yah. Well, I've said so many times in this show, those scriptures are an admonition declaring Messiah and what he comes to do. Isaiah 44:20 through 45:6 talks about when he calls his shepherd, his anointed, even Messiah, will prove foolish the wisdom that men have called wise. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. The scripture talks about we talked about this last night, Ephesians. Scripture talks about we war not just merely against flesh and blood, against the inclination of the flesh, but against principalities and powers. The rulers of the darkness, the rulers who keep this world in darkness. If your leaders are not seeking to tell you all things, my brothers and sisters, they are the children of darkness. And believe me, even a child of darkness can look at some of the word, but who can look at the whole word in its brilliance and delight? Hear me, my brothers and sisters. I want you to understand what I'm saying to you. The scripture says we war also against spiritual wickedness. They translated it in high places. And you just have to kind of rush through that last night. I want to try to see if I can relate that much more clearly tonight. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wickedness, same word for lawlessness. Same concept as being spiritually depraved, wearied. How about polluted after a multitude of differences that your concepts and your thoughts are not holy? But the result of still being in so many ways, having in your soul lingering so much of the misorientations that men are taught in this world from before the day they are born, like the scripture says, born from the womb, speaking, learning lies. Scripture says you have to be born again. The Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters, must wash the mind and soul of all misconceit and faulty judgment that finally men might, after the Spirit, agree. But how many are ready to deal with that, my brothers and sisters? If the leaders don't tell you the Messiah comes to certainly reprove all the misconceits that are taught among the churches, then realize the rulers who teach you that he is a champion of Babylon, that he upholds all this confusion, and that is his favor, that you are left without reproof to know the difference. If they left you to believe, my brothers and sisters, that he is the author of this Babylonish confusion and the preserver of it, and that he sanctions whatever it is that the leaders tell you and all their differences, then my brothers and sisters, you've never been taught the way of a Savior. And in fact, you've never been taught the gospel. The gospel has in it none of the misconceits of the rulers that cause the people to howl and perform and think like unreasoning beasts. You need to read Isaiah 52:1-7 closely and understand. For the Holy Spirit seeks to teach all things, no lie in it. Isaiah 45 says Messiah comes to what? Hey, he does not come to speak anything in secret, but he declares righteousness. He declares the things that are right. How about he seeks to reveal all things that men might be one, that all should draw near to him beyond all those who would hide the truth from you? Well, 45,000 denominations where apparently man has become content and a multitude of partialities and pollutions is evidence of great spiritual depravity, my brothers and sisters. Not a little, great, much spiritual depravity. And just because man does not detect it does not mean that he is wise. Allow me, if you would, my brothers and sisters, some of you might want to consider these things, but there's lots of scripture that will relate the context of what I'm relating. Maybe I need to type these things quickly in the chat. I would just simply tell you these scriptures are very important to understand. In order to gather so much of what I'm telling you, they'll be in the chat in just a moment. Let's see. Talking about scriptures like Isaiah 40 through 41 through 42, 43. I'm talking about Isaiah 59, Isaiah 41, 42, 43 says, Most High looked and saw there none who could give an acceptable answer to the Most High if he asked a question. That's spiritual depravity. That's weariness. That's weakness. That's not spiritual strength, my brothers and sisters. Isaiah 59 says, all men know how to do is lie and transgress against the Most High. I can only tell you that when Messiah appears, when men see the glory, my brothers and sisters, that the scriptures relate of his wisdom, his knowledge of Yah, his intimate knowledge of Yah. So much scripture, my brothers and sisters, says all eyes shall see him and all the nations of the earth shall mourn. Why? men would realize just how far away from the truth they were. Isaiah 59 said, men transgressing in line against the Most High. No intercessor. No one petitioning for the fullness restored and not discerning how much it was necessary because so many are so self-righteous. Isaiah 42 said, hey, the Most High is well pleased for his own righteousness' sake. So you have to magnify the law and make it honorable. The men finally see the light that they had not perceived in the prison houses where the greater truth was not told. Isaiah 19, my brothers and sisters, relates the idea about a city of confusion that's reflective of a whole world in its confusion. That the Most High said he would reprove that city first and foremost, that all the cities of the nation shall recognize their iniquity, and the cities of ruthless nations shall know to seek Yah. Did I tell you, my brothers and sisters, about scriptures like Zephaniah 3 that say the same? I said Zephaniah 3 that say exactly the same. And it says the just Lord is in the midst of the city, but the wicked, the lawless, those who become spiritually depraved, not knowing the scriptures so well. Hey, know no shame. What about scriptures like Jude saying, well, how about 2 Timothy 3:13? Saying that before Messiah comes, it didn't say man would become so wise. It said, if anything, man is going to, in his spiritual prowess, become worse and worse. All the weaker. Did you hear, my brothers and sisters? What I'm telling you is that the scriptures also relate to the Messiah's appearing. Hey, one scripture says he will speak to a world that has fallen short of his glory. That every mouth might be silenced, and every man recognize his guilt before Yah. Remember what Paul said? Shaul said, I know nothing which I'm guilty, lacking, but I might not be right in this. How is it that men... The Holy Spirit was sent as a comforter, my brothers and sisters, to teach all things, no lie in it. But we see a world still divided. You ever stop to consider then that those who comfort the people in vain, false comforters, soothsayers, are so much like what the adversary did in the garden when he told people that in their transgression that everything was all right. My brothers and sisters, if you really start reading through the scripture really closely, it talks about a level of depravity that, well, put it this way. The scripture says, like it was in the days of Lot and Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. And my brothers and sisters, all that is written related that in the days of Lot and Noah, Lot warning of people wicked and depraved, spiritually depraved, wearied in their understanding. Hey, everybody walking after the imagination of his own heart. He warned the people before came the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Noah warned before there was to be the destruction of a world. A destruction, my brothers and sisters. We said of all flesh, and only Noah's family remained. Well, the Messiah said, just like it was in the days of Lot and Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Meaning, my brothers and sisters, that man doesn't really understand what he's doing. Best way I could put it to you is like this. Consider, my brothers and sisters, what's really going on. Man, at this point in time, has been made in so many ways disrespectful and irreverent from the Most High and doesn't really understand just how far from the truth he is. Everybody telling everybody's great. Personal relationship is so great. But my brothers and sisters, there's so much you still need to learn. And the Most High understands this. So there's favor to those who, when he offers the opportunity to grow, they move rapidly toward the truth. Like I said, if you love me, you would keep, maintain, preserve, defend my commandments. That's not just the Ten Commandments, my brothers and sisters. That's the essence of all that he directs and gives instruction for you to look at, examine, so that he might direct you further down the path, that you might learn, my brothers and sisters, how to grow all the more close to the goal in the Most High. That's what it means by growing in grace, growing in the gifts of wisdom that he gives, that you might move closer and closer to the truth of him. How many understand, my brothers and sisters, what the scriptures means when it says, they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength? Oh, we need to talk about that scripture. That's one very critical scripture I want to talk about again tonight. What about the scripture that says, who can stand when he appears? Wow. And the scriptures talk about that scripture twice, both in Malachi and reproof for the priests. And you can see in the proof of all the various rulers of the world in Revelation 6. All the rulers, my brothers and sisters, asking, who can stand when he appears? Heaven help us. Who can stand when he appears? Talking about hide us from the face of the Lamb and him who sits upon the throne. If the rulers, my brothers and sisters, have no power and never did to dictate what is acceptable and they will be reproved, what about those who follow them? You ever stop to consider why Messiah said you're right, Mr. C, they're the scribes and Pharisees? What is the scribe and Pharisees? Wherever it is, false rulers being told. You ever stop to consider that's why you ask for the Spirit? That you discern beyond these misconceits, that you overcome the world and the worldly and whoever it is that will hide the truth from you? That you transcend their unrighteousness to discern what the Most High would have you surely without question to know? What about the scripture saying, when he that is perfect is come, that which is in part imperfect shall pass away? How about the idea that when it says you're not under the law by grace, it really means that by the gift of the Most High to discern the greater truth, you're not under the flawed, false standards of men? I've told you before how the Greek word they use, nomos, for law, they use indiscriminately for whether it's divine or man's law, because the ruler calls themselves gods. They don't want a word to relate the difference. They wanted you indiscriminate. They want you easy. They wanted you easily deceived. What about the scripture says, like I said, every eye shall see him and all the nations of the earth shall mourn? What about the scripture says, Most High looked, Isaiah 59, he saw there was no intercessor, no one to help me with displeased. Therefore his own arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness sustained him. Dare men say that all these differences we have, that we are, after all these differences, ready to walk into the Holy Kingdom? Really? Scripture said, people who do not know his ways shall not enter into his rest. Do we say we know his ways because we know what some pastors just simply said to us and we interpreted it after it seemed wise in our own hearts? Do you really not consider, my brothers and sisters, that Messiah is going to check everyone out according to his discretion, his power, if you will, from him? When I say power, I mean his ability to discern the deep things. His ability, my brothers and sisters, how about even his sensitivity for the deep things of the eye, as to whether or not men are easily, if you will, discipled, taught, that they might rapidly grow to become what they need to be. My brothers and sisters, when the scripture said, I beheld there was no intercessor, heaven help us, I mean none to petition fully for the will of Yah. And it says, Messiah will put on a helmet of salvation upon his head, a breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit. Ultimately, my brothers and sisters, what specific purpose? To reprove whoever it is that will stand against his people, discern the greater righteousness of Yah. For he said, you are my friends if you do everything that I command. What about if they do not? Shall man be favored because of his unbelief? Think about it, my brothers and sisters. And the scripture says, he will set up a standard against whoever, a higher standard, raising the conscience of men against whoever would keep men after the obstacles of the adversary, blinded after the wiles of devils, deviants who delight in short-sighted standards to keep you from comprehending. That's all that, my brothers and sisters, over in Isaiah 59. And it says, at that time, his covenant restored to the minds, a covenant, my brothers and sisters, common recognition and understanding with all the words of Yah I have to say, shall not depart from your mouths, nor the mouth of your descendants, henceforth even forever. He said he's going to restore the tribes of Israel and Judah. He will write his laws upon the minds and hearts. Meaning he will elucidate upon and teach his law himself, that you discern it after the intents and design and perspective of the author. That will make men his people, because guess what? Everybody reading these words, getting their own perspectives on it, everybody got their own spin on it. My brothers and sisters, such perversion is not a covenant. And it's time we understand that. But I want you to consider, my brothers and sisters, again, last evening I had to rush through this because time was short. But as I told you before, we just read through the scriptures talking about how the Most High said that the priests, people even, have wearied, dishonored the Most High with the words, the doctrines they believed. Isaiah 24 speaks about the same thing. It says men have broken the everlasting covenant. Hey, that's everybody walking according to their own self-will. His own presumptuousness, calling himself wise, not even expecting that the time would come that everybody's so-called beliefs are going to be deeply, deeply inspected to see whether or not in everything they are true. Consider them, my brothers and sisters. I'm talking about now Isaiah 40th chapter. Might not have an opportunity to go through the entirety of this, but Isaiah 40th chapter is very profound. It talks about one that comes, as the one for whom the heralding voice saying, comfort ye, O my people. There's one that he speaks of that is to come. The one that says he's like a voice crying in the wilderness. He speaks of one who is to come. And he says that Isaiah 42 would speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry to her for her warfare. Her warfare must come to an end. Her iniquity must be pardoned. The only way the iniquity is pardoned is that it exists no more. The inequity, my brothers and sisters, the injustices that men have done against the word, dishonoring the words and commands and thoughts of the Most High, must be no more. Because when man turned away, he was already warned that if he turned away from keeping and seeking to preserve the truth, he'd be scattered. Israel was told she'd be scattered among the nations. Amen, my brothers and sisters. And to be scattered, Israel scattered among the nations, believing all manner of lie. Heaven help us, my brothers and sisters. You ever stop and consider that bondage to devils? But he said, if you act like imps, heaven help us, imposters, not seeking in all things to be true. He said, quite frankly, what he was saying, I'll set you out in the months amongst a multitude of imposters. And many of you will fall away from the knowledge of the truth and never even know it. That's what Isaiah 59 is saying in so many ways. But it's like, so therefore, a voice that cries out for righteousness is like one that cries in the wilderness, and hardly any understand the greater righteousness of Yah, even when they hear it. Zephaniah 3 talks about one in the midst of a wicked, wearied, spiritually depraved, confused city, if you will. Just Lord is in the midst, and he does not speak a word that falls short or fails. But the wicked, the lawless, those who don't even know what to expect, and are prideful in themselves. It said Moab is very proud. It said they know no shame. How much corruption is going on in society we live in today? How much do we see in the media that men are pronated to accept as if it were? Say it's acceptable. How much, my brothers and sisters, corruption, spiritual, physical, depravity that we see in the society we live in today, that men look at and sit back and say, "Cool, that's just what folks do." As if there's nothing absolutely to be believed, expected, nothing, my brothers and sisters, to be attained. Just call upon the name of the Most High, everybody have their own ideas, and sit back and say it's wise. No, my brothers and sisters, that's not so. The scriptures talk about finally in 40 and 5, the glory of the Most High should be revealed. How about that pure, perfect, and invariant light should be revealed? And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Most High has spoken, even though most, my brothers and sisters, for a long time have resisted. It talks about the way of the flesh being like the grass that withers and the flower fades whenever the word of Yah blows upon it, because so many of my brothers and sisters will find that when the greater spirit of the truth is revealed, so much of what men have called righteous will be found in shame. But what about this scripture, my brothers and sisters? I would like to just go on and just make it just real plain. The scripture says we war against spiritual wickedness in high places. What about our rulers, the people that call themselves rulers? The people that men give authority and power over and control over resources, resources that should belong to us all if we are true unto Yah. When we give men authority according to their designs, my brothers and sisters, haven't we robbed both Yah and men? When we give authority to those who have no intent to be true to all the Most High has declared, have we not insulted the Most High, even His creation? Well, hear me, my brothers and sisters. Isaiah 40:28, hast thou not known, hast not heard that the everlasting Yah, Most High, creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? In other words, He doesn't forget what He has to say, what He has told us. He does not forget the essence, the precept upon precept, line upon line, if you will, integrated and reinforced nature of all His word, because He never said anything that denies anything that He intends. Everything He says reinforced by everything else He has and will ever say. He does not deny Himself. He fainteth not. He never becomes indiscriminate with regard to His righteousness, for He is righteousness. Neither is He weary, and there's no searching of all that is His understanding. In other words, all that we could ever come to know, Most High told me at the end of anything is just another level of beginning. And JNYOBE, it says, corruption indeed and wickedness has run amok and has run its peak, and you're exactly right. All prophecies, as I said before, says the Messiah comes at a time when the Most High will have patience upon this insanity no more. And nevertheless, people are coerced by the wicked rulers. Become all the more compromised and hypocritical. How devilish is that, my brothers and sisters? Rather than telling you should prepare for a righteousness greater than theirs, they prefer that you sit back and become just as compromised and hypocritical as they are. Hey, it only tells you what they are. Sue says, if you're willing to pay them, they'll tell you whatever you want to hear. Hey, some folks are content just getting a slap on the back by the pastor. Well, I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, a whole lot of these folks have no right to be ever called ministers. They can heal no one beyond indiscretion. And quite frankly, many of them just only concerned about the numbers and the dollars they can bring in. It's just a matter of fact. It is Yah, it says 40:29, who gives power to the faint. He restores the greater sense of righteousness. And to them that have no might, He increases their strength, their discretion. Spiritually strong, spiritually one, spiritually pure, spiritually for Yah, upon a foundation that when they see the greater righteousness of Yah toward completion, they do not rebel, but they run toward the truth with a great love for it. If there's any sorrow, it's a sorrow for having not known how to move farther along the righteous path sooner. But in that, my brothers and sisters, there's also a great drive that others also might know the truth. In a prayer in the heart, the Most High might raise up a people, and a people might be manifest that will reason together with Him. For this alone will be peace. 40:29 again, He gives power to the faint, and them that have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall, but they will wait about Him who, as the scripture says, He gives them power to become sons of Yah. He teaches them the truth that if they are willing to accept it, they have a chance to grow in His discipline. His word with Yah, my brothers and sisters, is an opportunity that Yah become our strength, it says in Isaiah 49, when it speaks of one coming forth, saying, listen to me, O isles, and hearken to me, O you nations. The Most High has called me to declare a word from afar to all the nations afar off. From the womb, from the body of my mother, has he made mention of my name. Yes, an anointed one, my brothers and sisters. Made his mouth like a sharp sword, a discerner. Declared the glory, the invariant word of the Most High. Yah has become his strength. I did not say the vanities of man, vanities of man, are not what he seeks after to declare discretion, but his discretion is from Yah. To bring Israel back to him, Israel might become one nation, my brothers and sisters, even a light of salvation to the ends of the earth. That's written in Isaiah 49. And he comes because it said in Isaiah 48, because men have sworn by the name of the Most High, but not in the truth, nor in righteousness. But there are those who sit back and say, when Messiah comes, they're going, all the pastors are going to get together, and we're just going to make one perfect church, and it's going to be ready. No, 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 no. They tell you that so you won't recognize, my brothers and sisters, that your rulers themselves are sin. They are still upholding a multitude of partial standards that so often that if you start talking about the greater truth, they don't want to talk about it. Hey, you can check on my website, what you've been, the article you'll find there at hiddengospel.com. Article called Early Church Origin and Mutual Expectation. Article called The Secret City Prophecies. Tribulation 70 to 365 A.D. Article called Remember the Promise. So many that are there, that a lot of hidden truths, truths that pastors won't talk about, are there. And you need to study and seek these things. Ask your pastors, why don't they talk about this? Well, I can only tell you to be prepared if you seek to press the issue. They might not want you to remain there. I can't tell you how many times I found that to be true. And I've been dealing with this for a long time. They'll wait for the Most High to renew their strength. They mount up wings as eagles. They shall run and not walk. And they shall walk and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So someone comes forth saying, keep silence before me, O ye isles, and let my people renew their strength. Let them come near. Let them speak. Let them come near together. Let them speak. I didn't say stuttering. Let them come and speak together. Righteous discretion. He talks about who has stirred this righteous one like the rising sun, even like the morning sun, the morning star. Cast out all the darkness. East. Cast out all the darkness. Reveal the light the world would obscure. Who has called him to his foot and gave nations? How about under him? And made him rule over kings. He gave them as dust to his sword. In other words, he showed the fragmentation of their word by his sure, sharp, discerning word, and his stubble to his bow, the accuracy, my brothers and sisters, of his word. He shall pursue the nations and pass safely by a way that he had not gone on foot. Who has wrought and done it, called the generation from the beginning? I, the Most High, the first and the last, I am he. We've talked before about how Isaiah, I'll put it up, Isaiah 11th chapter, and Isaiah 45th chapter, read to them closely, 45th and 46th chapter, talking about the fall of Babylon once and for all, and the regathering of Israel once and for all. Finally, there being peace, knowledge of the Most High covering the earth as the waters cover the sea. My brothers and sisters, that's Latter Day prophecy. 2 Thessalonians, if we'll read it closely, 2 Thessalonians in the 2nd chapter, talking about the regathering of Israel, finally one coming forth, to expose all the pretense that's in the midst of the churches, whereby intrusions of lies have entered in after the principalities and powers of perdition. Scripture says that's latter-day prophecy. It's something to be expected. How then do men dare say that Messiah comes in to sanction all the diverse lies that have been taught amongst the churches? Concerning this one called the righteous one from the east, how about Revelation? I'm putting that in the chat too. Revelation 16, 12 to 21. The one called the King, that's singular, the King of the East, before whom the rivers are dried up. How about the people might be free? What about Revelation? How about free from all the constraints of the faulty mindscapes of the king? What about Revelation 22:16? Who is he talking about? He said he's the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. Who is he talking about? Well, the wise men out of the east at the birth of Messiah came looking for the one called the King of the Jews. And I would tell you, my brothers and sisters, they looked for one that they had already, their history had already knew, who had galvanized the people of the east before. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? Had galvanized the people of the east 2,600 years ago. Because how many understand that Isaiah, in the 11th chapter, has a verse that's quite surprising? It says, it speaks of Messiah coming to do something that he had done before. In the 11th chapter, perhaps I need to just put it up in the chart. Put it up in the chat. Maybe I need to just put the verse there, point blank as it is. Let me see if I can open up something. I can put this in, copy it, and paste it very quickly. Isaiah 11th chapter, talking about this root out of the stem of Yeshua, stem of Jesse, Yeshua. 11th chapter. Here we go. I think I can put that in. Okay. It says, in that day, there should be the root of the stem of Yeshua, which should stand for an ensign to the people. How about to regather the people from the midst of all the nations? His people. And it shall pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again. There's a very critical verse in the midst of it. A very critical word. The Lord shall set his hand again the second time. Did you hear me? The second time to recover the remnant of his people. Which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and Pathros and Cush and Elam and Shinar. Looks like you might not give me everything here. And from Shinar. And from Hamath and the isles of the sea. He shall set up an ensign to the nations, shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Someone that did such a thing before. Yes, my brothers and sisters, Yahshua said that he would do this, is prophesied to do this, without question. But how many understand who Yeshua said that he is according to all the prophecies that were said before? I'm not talking about someone who will regather the people according to all the diversities of the nations, but someone who will one who will gather the people according to the righteousness that the Most High reveals to be remembered again, that his people might be one. We talked the other day about Jacob, James, and he said, if you're scattered, the tribes scattered among the Gentiles, if you lack wisdom, like among multitude of nations, multitude of denominations, hey, that's not wisdom. That's not discretion. He said, you must know that faith in Yah. I said, beyond all these nations among the Gentiles, faith in him must bring forth a pure and perfect work, lacking nothing. My brothers and sisters, I'm not talking about simply being able to quote out a bunch of scripture, learn by rote. I'm talking about understanding the essence. Because the scripture said the people had words learned by rote, but when they opened the book, the leaders opened the book, the scripture says they, to them were the book, or the essence was sealed. And the people asked, what's saying? And they say they cannot read because they are not learned. So he said, by a wonderful and a marvelous manner, would he set apart this people. My brothers and sisters, it must be that not only will the Most High send upon man who is willing to receive it, his spirit, those who have been most diligent. In fact, the book of Ezekiel says that to those who have been, let's just say, most diligent in the spirit, he said he will offer them, he will put his spirit upon them, and they will load themselves for their iniquities. But that's to those who have been most diligent in the spirit to discern the truth, knowing that there's a greater righteousness to be attained. My brothers and sisters, how can a people be a light to the world when they're willing to compromise after all the misconceits of man? Simply is not possible. We're looking for a people then, my brothers and sisters, who reveal that exceeding light that Yah reveals. You need to ask a question, my brothers and sisters. If the rulers don't tell you that Messiah comes to declare righteousness beyond the rulers and tell the people they need to prepare for something more, and the rulers are not willing to look for these long secreted things. Like I said, there's an article on my website, good places to start is early church origin and mutual expectations, and know what the church, early church look forward to. All the apostles and prophets look forward to in the coming of Messiah. How the scripture said he would come, that those secret city prophecies. If they don't tell you these things, brothers and sisters, and they don't tell you to expect something far more than the ordinary, so many become prideful in the little they know, arrogant in their ignorance, easily comforted in their vanities, fatally flattered by soothsayers. And the end result, my brothers and sisters, is going to be a big shock to a lot of folks to find out that while they are constantly pushing the envelope, in other words, think about the society we look at, the submissive society, that sits back and tells people that all kind of things they do they can get away with. Did you hear what I said about what the prophecy said? It'd be like the days of Lot and Noah and the days of the Son of Man. Meaning there's a level of depravity with which the Most High hardly has any more tolerance at all. One scripture says he turned his face from even looking at it. In Isaiah 8 chapter, 8, 16 through 20, you need to read all that. And men, my brothers and sisters, already walking after systemic disgust with which the Most High cannot be pleased, I'll sit back and talk about how just how great a relationship with the Most High they have, where the truth of the matter, if they were truly humble before him and reverent and respectful of him, hey, men will be walking in such a manner that they're not so quick to allow themselves to be enticed. Not so quick to allow themselves to be enticed
90.
By the folly that this world so quickly endorses in its weakness, in its spiritual weariness, in so many ways in which it's dishonored the holy name. When you see, my brothers and sisters, temptations toward the negative, provocations and enticements toward the negative, stop and consider. People wants to look upon a people that, rather than seeing the stains of depravity of a Babylonish world, confused world, tainted, stinkingly, some scripture says, hey, the stench remains because the vessels were never turned. Most I want to see something that's a sweet savor to him. He looks upon the world, he sees so much mess. What about wanting to be something that he can look upon and delight in? When you think about the idea, my brothers and sisters, something seems to entice you toward the negative. Ask yourself, don't I want to bring forth an offering to the Most High better than this? I believe we should all consider that, my brothers and sisters, that there be a guard to our minds, our hearts, easily enticed and destabilized. Then we got about 10 seconds, my brothers and sisters, left. I think the Most High for every year that he brings near, and to his praise always, hallelujah!
you might speak in all things, be steadfast.
Baby.